I'd like to welcome you to this afternoon's program, Pick Up the Mic. This event is part of the Clark Forum's Hip Hop Symposium, a three-day discussion and exhibition of hip hop. Queer hip hop, or homo hop, is a growing genre and movement comprised of LGBT artists, DJs, and MCs who are not afraid to talk about their sexuality through their music and condemn the homophobic lyrics of mainstream rappers. Pick Up the Mic is an award-winning documentary film on the homo hop scene. The film chronicles the evolution of the homo hop movement in places such as San Francisco, New York, Chicago, Minneapolis, Houston, and the Ozarks, capturing the struggles and triumphs of out artists. Our speaker today, Shante Paradigm Smalls, is a Brooklyn-based singer, MC, poet, and scholar, working at the intersections of live and recorded performance and critical artistry. Currently, she is writing her dissertation, Heretics of Hip Hop, Performing Race, Gender, and Sexuality in New York City, while teaching as an adjunct professor at NYU and an adjunct associate professor at Pace University. This afternoon, Ms. Smalls will discuss the film Pick Up the Mic, a film in which she is featured. She will also be a featured performer in the Hip Hop in Action event tonight at 7 p.m. in the Anita Tuven-Schlechter Auditorium. At this time, I'd like to remind you to please turn off all cell phones and electronic devices. Also, please hold all of your questions until the question and answer session at the end of the program. Since this event is being taped and some of our audience members may be hearing impaired, please wait for a microphone to reach you before beginning to speak. Thank you, and please join me in welcoming Shante Paradigm Smalls.
Good afternoon. Thank you. It's call and response. You've heard about that, right? So, thank you for coming and welcome to this talk on Pick Up the Mic. How many of you have ever heard of queer hip hop or homo hop or gays in hip hop? No. Any of you have heard of this? Thank you, Professor Gilmore. Have any of you heard of this film before? Okay, yeah. So by way of introduction, I just want to say a little bit about the film. I'm going to show, I think, two chapters. Can everyone hear me? Is that okay? And then I'm going to talk a little bit more about the film. And then I'd like to just open it up, I think, for questions and answers, hopefully. So the film itself was directed by a gentleman named Alex Hinton, who wasn't really a hip-hop head before he started this project. He was basically like a punk rock guy from Southern California. But he knew some of us who were musicians, and he had started doing some filming, gosh, I don't know, maybe 1999, 98. I think I met him in 1999. In San Francisco, at something called the Peace Out World Hip Hop Homo Hop Festival, which was started by a gentleman named Juba Kalamka, who's also in this film, who's part of a collective called DDC, or Deep Dick Collective. And they're a group of black men and trans men who are dancers, MCs, poets, artists, and they're sort of all over the country and the world. So the first clip I'm going to show you, I think, is of Tim M.T. West, who is an artist and a professor at University of Houston, I think, and he's also a founding member of Deep Dick Collective. And this was him being filmed in New York City's Greenwich Village, the West Village. And part of the inspiration of the film was to really capture this movement in a way that hadn't been captured before. That there was a lot of discussion at that point in the late 90s and the early 2000s about the sort of viciousness of the homophobia and misogyny in hip-hop culture. In fact, that those problematics were placed upon hip-hop culture solely. In fact, some people were even saying that they were the cause of misogyny within this quite misogynistic culture. America, so the United States, rather, and that there was also no real investigation into the racism and white supremacy within the mainstream gay community. And so that LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, intersex, questioning, ally performers really didn't have a place where they were completely welcomed, neither in mainstream gay culture or mainstream hip-hop culture. So this film was really a way, rather than speaking about these artists or speaking about gays in hip-hop, having the artists speak for themselves. So why don't we... this is Tim M.T. West.
The more comfortable I become with my gay identity, the...
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Who was talking to him?
Hit the lights.
I was trying to get his attention.
This one right here?
Yeah, y'all can do what y'all doing. I want him to sit this way.
Oh, okay.
I just heard you say something about rapping, though.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. I'm a rapper.
All right.
You rap?
Yeah,
I'm
Me and other people in DDC, the more comfortable I become with my gay identity, Oh, okay. Who was talking to him?
Nah, I was trying to get his attention.
This one right here?
Yeah, y'all can do what y'all doing. I want him to sit this way.
Oh, okay. I just heard you say something about rapping, though.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. I'm a rapper.
All right.
You rap?
Yeah, I rap.
Oh, really?
Yeah, really.
You want to spit some stuff?
Nah, I'm good.
All right, cool.
So, yeah, but it's like, you know, that's a part of the Christopher Street culture right there. You know? And it wasn't until I came here and saw that that I was like, oh, wow, you know, there's a different aesthetic that we're not being shown. African-American culture has sometimes been really suspect of, like, white gay normativity. So a lot of black, quote-unquote, gays and lesbians don't identify with terms like gay or lesbian. And it doesn't mean that they're closeted. It just means that for them, lesbian or gay may have so deep white connotations that they actually want something that's more culturally relevant to their experience. So a term like, some people say they're same gender loving, which was something that was started by Brother Cleo Monago to sort of designate, you know, that, okay, we're people in the life. Or in the life is another term too that people in the black community would use. Or even, oh, he's family, right? You know. What's up? What's your name?
Fuquan.
Fuquan?
Tim M.
Tim M?
Tim M. Right. I want to hear you flow, though.
You want to hear me flow?
Yeah.
I want to tell you my flow, your flow, right?
Saying, well, you got a deal? You got a deal aside?
Hmm?
You got a deal?
I produce my own music.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, so what, they doing a documentary on you or something?
They're doing a documentary on, like, hip-hop, but gay people in hip-hop. Where you from?
Brooklyn.
Where?
Brownsville.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Where you at?
I used to live in Brooklyn and Bed-Stuy, but I'm in Oakland, California now.
You got your own label? Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Me and my boys, Sugar Truck.
Sugar Truck?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I can write down the information for you. You looking to do something?
Do something, yeah.
You make beats too, or?
Nah, I'll be trying to mess with my cousin, MP2000, but he don't, you know, I'll be erasing a lot of the shit that I've been on it.
Gay?
Nah. My cousin is.
Your cousin is?
Yeah. Okay. You didn't see the person I was with across the street?
Right, so I don't, you know, I don't make assumptions down here. You can't.
I hear what y'all doing though.
Right, but it's cool.
I wanted to hear you flow though.
Oh, you want to hear me flow?
Shoot.
Flow, flow, flow.
Yeah.
So you want to hear me spit something? When I rhyme, the bell chimes ring freedom time. Beats populate the cinemas like drum lines. Hater second guess the hate gets sugary sweet from beat street to soul beat. Fingertips feel me. Soul riff triggers solar eclipse moon man. Cancerian born July 6th. Got plenty of underground, but I ain't yet had a hit. But Negroes still know I'm the shh. Hush, little baby, I got a spoken word from everybody from Thug Brothers to Neo Nerd. Been in the paper, but not paper chasing, not my verb. But I got love for this music, you heard? So I'm on some conscious, you know. You see what kind of flow. I fantasize about doing gangster raps, but I ain't out in the street shooting people. So for me, that's not really keeping it real. You know, if I don't do that, I ain't going to talk about it. But I did want to do a whole thing, like a whole parody where I was like pretending to be a gangster and I was just like cruel and mean and just killing motherfuckers all over the planet. But then I was like, that's... But then at the end, it would just be like me waking up in a dream, like, oh, shit, damn, it's just me. I'm a nerd with my books.
I see some crazy things happen on Christopher Street. Seeing guys want to be girls and tuck up their meat. Seeing girls try to be guys and fluff up their beaks. Seeing so many people got just caught on the streets. See my eyes stay wide open. I stay wide open. Eyes open, poking. They get the shit popping. Clip chopping. The gas out to the hip hopping. I flow off top of my brain. Believe me, dog, I'ma shine without platinum. A watch and a chain. See me with a six ring, dropping low in the set. Coming through, blowing up. Not, let me not say blow up like 9/11. I don't mean to blow up. To my people up in heaven. Giving thanks to the Lord for making it this far. Now gotta just thank the Lord. Jump in the car. Get the whole thing started. The whole thing sparking on my forefoot.
I'm bugging, yo. Let me get out of here.
I know you got a bounce, yo.
Yeah, I think so.
Definitely.
But y'all be easy,
yo. Peace and love, yo.
No doubt, yo.
Cool, yo, check it.
Call me Fuquan. I don't need cameras, but know what? Move it on. And shine on, scheme on, got to dream on. I'ma leave y'all alone. Gotta get my cream on. Yo, peace.
Peace, yo. All right, Poo. Man, that's real. Dude's talking about, like... I mean, that's why the obsession with, like, money. But see, you know what? If you're on a, like, high and mighty horse, if I was one of those conscious cats that was like, I'm not going to talk to a brother that's talking about crack and guns and whatever, you can't have a dialogue. You know, like, I mean, like, hopefully he leaves a different person than he came over here. You know? And we, you know, spit some rhymes and maybe learned a little something about each other. And that's the way hip-hop should be, you know? I mean... You know, he apparently saw something he thought was interesting and came over and shared, you know, straight brother, I'm gay. He talk about baby mamas, I'm talking about baby daddies. It's all one hip-hop. All one hip-hop.
Yo, 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 these are my fags, these are my dykes. We come through rolling on some lowrider bikes. From the east to the west, from the west to the east. I take bitches out, have them eat me like a feast.
She's crazy, my daughter.
Who they call me? They call me Jen Bro, known as a lesbian dyke. Known for taking the ladies and rocking a mic. To all my dykes in a house from left to right. Pop collars, play girlies, and it's not right. My gay boys making noise, booty hopping the place. We coming saucy from the bay, and ain't no stopping this race. Trans G's in the heezy, walking flats for shady. Tearing up the whole spot from your head to your knees. To all my folks is representing being gay in New York. Coming straight from all directions, give a fuck if you're straight. I give a fuck for all my draggies and my queens of the throne. Chillin' laggy with the dyke boys, now we got this shit sewn. Dyke bitch straight on the gate, ducking bottles from the straight. Tired of spitting all these rhymes of homophobes and hate. Step up on your misconception of a dyke from the hood. Catch me posted on the corner, 18th Hollywood. Fuck a Bonnie and Clyde, we do a Bonnie and Bonnie. Yeah, from the bay to Japan, swimming money tsunami. They call me Jen Rowe, known as a lesbian dyke. Known for taking the ladies and rocking the mic.
I came out in 8th grade. I came out to a boy at my school. My friend Duilio was the first person I ever came out to, because I knew he was gay too, because just the way he acted. I had mentioned something about a youth group, a gay youth group, and he knew about it, and so he was the first person I told, and I told my friends before I told my family.
She'd go to school in the morning, I think, and then the afternoon she never show up home.
So they found out in 8th grade because I ran away from school. I like ditched school and I went to the gay youth group, and they found me over there in Castro because one of my friends snitched on me and said that I was going to a gay place.
Yeah, the gay PE teacher found her on Castro.
We don't know nothing about where she's going. They have a place where she used to work, Lyric.
No, I didn't work there.
Oh, no. It's a place to hang out. But I don't know what Lyric means, you know.
Until you see me on the poster.
Until I saw her in a poster, and I go, bus poster, very big. Big. And she's having a lollipop. You having a lollipop?
Yeah, a lollipop in my mouth.
Oh, my God. It's announcing to the whole world. And I say, it's fine.
That's when everybody, like, found out about me. After that, I didn't give a fuck.
Home of the free, home of the brave. Too many knees, undercover slaves. 1 in 10, no, not me. See, I'm 1 in 10,000,000,033. It's the revelation, the revelation. We can't help it, it's the revelation. It's the revelation, the revelation. We can't help it, it's the revelation.
Me and her started the first GSA at our school.
Gay Straight Alliance.
The first Gay Straight Alliance.
So it was cool, you know?
Most of the people who knew me before, like, that I told them I was gay and they were cool with me. After, some people distanced a little bit, but just because you're in high school and whoever you hang with is who you are, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like Julie, she was straight and everyone thought she was gay just because she hung out with me, you know? And she was the first person I told about her.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone thought she was and she's not, you know, huh, Julie?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's guilt by association, you know.
I didn't give a fuck though, man. If somebody didn't like me, you know what? We did get some harassment because we had a gay table in high school.
Oh yeah.
And people used to throw apples at our table, but you know what? We didn't go out like a punk once, man. I would throw my hands up. I'd be like, "What the fuck, motherfuckers?" I go, "What? You want some shit?" I go, "Don't be mad, cause I get more pussy than you do." And they all just like shut up after that. You know what I mean?
Some folks say it's 1 gay person out of 10, but in my math class of 30, I had 20 gay friends. Fuck 10%, 10% of my ass, 10% of USA that want us to last. Just look at the mass, gay pride when I blast, when gay marriage in California won't even pass.
Don't ride through your hood. Stop traffic, I'm loving the look.
Yeah, no doubt.
Pop my collar to those misunderstood
haters.
Take your lady, fuck haters, get shook.
Watch your lady.
Did I do it right? Okay.
So, I would definitely recommend watching the film. And, you can get it on Netflix, and I think it's on PBS, something. So part of, like I was saying earlier, you know, part of the reason that this film came to be was it really was giving a voice to those of us who were performing in queer hip-hop, or performing hip-hop and we were out, and as, you know, LGBT folks or as allies. And that there was a sense that... this is really a bridge community in the sense that there was really no voice within the mainstream gay community that was, you know, there was sort of a setup, a dyad setup that somehow if you were in hip-hop, you were anti-gay, and somehow if you were, you know, gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender, you were anti-hip-hop. And there were a whole bunch of people who were saying, you know, we're not homophobic, you know, in fact, maybe some of us are queer, and we love hip-hop, and we do hip-hop. And so who are these people who are speaking for us, you know, on either side saying that, you know, this community doesn't exist or there's no possibility for a dialogue? And, you know, part of the reason why it's called Pick Up the Mic is because, you know, instead of sort of talking about it, we get on the mic and you rhyme. You know, you get up on the mic and you represent. And there is where you really present yourself and your skills. Rather than it being a soundbite, it's a song, it's a record, it's a show. And so there were these number of festivals, Peace Out, which was in the Bay Area of California, Peace Out East, which myself and another guy we started in New York. There was Peace Out London, Peace Out South in Atlanta. All over the place they're popping up. And different festivals, both queer and sort of independent music festivals. And Alex Hinton, who's the director, started filming about 16 of us. Around the U.S., who were performing and following us for a number of years and following our lives and asking, like, you know, how is it that we were making it in music? What, you know, what were our aspirations as musicians? What were our thoughts about, you know, different mainstream rappers who were saying things? What were our thoughts about the mainstream gay community? And, you know, all of us had very different investments and very different ideas about what we were doing with our music. So this, when this film came out in 2005, it was a festival film, and it was shown, I remember it was shown at the Toronto Film Festival, and we actually had this really big show with about 20 or 25 of us were performing, and Cuba Gooding Jr. was there. It was pretty cool, you know. It was like there were famous people there, and it felt really validating to see this, you know, this labor of love on the big screen, and also to have, no matter what happened with our individual careers or even with the movement itself, that there was this archive. There was this archive from which like a repertoire could flow, and that no one could say that they didn't, you know, that there was no such thing as not just queer people being the ancillary parts of hip-hop, like designers or Emile Wilbekin, who was the editor-in-chief of Vibe, or, you know, hairdressers or, you know, A&R people, but we were actually out front on the stage. And, you know, the obsession with a mainstream artist, hip-hop artist coming out may or may not happen. Of course, you know, there are artists who there are rumors about or who they're, you know, male and female, who you see at the club, and you're like, okay, you know. But that's not really what's important, because when we would perform, and when I would perform, to see the queer kids, like, going crazy, because finally they could feel like all of them was represented. There wasn't, like, a part that was going to be one of the things that Tim M., the first person I showed, said in another portion of the film. He talked about one of the reasons that he got into, you know, rhyming and to hip-hop was that he was tired of being at the club and hearing faggot, you know, screened in the gay club and hearing faggot from the speakers. And he wanted there to be music that could be played in the gay club. Now, the fact of the matter is that, to my knowledge, most gay clubs aren't playing gay artists, hip-hop artists. So, you know, we have that problem, too, where a lot of the focus is on hip-hop culture as a monolithic homophobic culture. And what that really sets up is this dynamic in which, for the most part, black and Latino men, black and Latino women, are automatically assumed to be homophobic, are automatically assumed to be somehow more homophobic or more misogynistic than white folks. And, you know, one of the things that I like to remind people is that hip-hop culture, you know, rap music, hip-hop culture, the culture evolved from, or it took root in the United States. It was its gestation period. Its upbringing was all in the U.S. So it grew up in the context of, I think, you know, Dr. Neil last night was talking about hypermasculinity. That's not an attribute solely of hip hop culture. It's an attribute of United States culture. In fact, global masculinity in many ways. So when you have these different representations of who's in hip-hop culture, it begins to break up this idea from people who are outside the culture and who are within the culture, who think that it means one thing. You know, for those of us who know anything about hip-hop, it changes from time to time, from place to place, from region to region, and you can't say it's one thing. You might be able to say that mainstream hip-hop is more and more and more alike, but even someone like you know, Kanye West is about a different aesthetic that maybe five, eight years ago wouldn't have been, there's no way he would have been really popular. But somehow, because of the moment in time, you can have sort of this, like, nerdy, you know, nerdy guy as a sex symbol. You know, this sort of, like, middle class, his mother was a university professor before she died, you know, from UChicago. And this sort of middle class kid being able to be a superstar. So again, this film features one of the most interesting things about this film and what it shows is not just the sort of that there are queer rappers, but there's also a very multiracial, multi-ethnic aspect to the scene. You have sort of, you know, white transgendered rappers, you have Asian rappers, you have you know, obviously, you know, black rappers, you have and DJs and Latinos, and there's a sense that, you know, it's not, it's open to anyone who has the skills to do it. And in that way, there's a sense that, oh, okay, you're gay, and so you're probably going to be a bad rapper. But people really do, you know, there's the same element. It's underground, you know, it's independent music. So there are battles, you know, there are MC battles. There are ciphers. There are, of course, we have relationships with people from all over, not just other gay rappers. That it's fully a full rap scene. It's full hip-hop scene. It's not just somehow some kind of joke or human interest story, but it's actually people who've been honing their skills for a long time. I have a friend who's not in this film, but she's a DJ in Berlin, and she spent, you know, 6 weeks or 8 weeks at the Scratch Academy in New York, which is like where all the DJs come to learn how to be, you know, good DJs. And that it's not just like, oh, I'm somewhere, let me just pick up a mic and pretend I'm, but that people really have a quite an investment in being musicians. There's one musician, there's one artist, I didn't show her clip, her name is Goddess. Maybe some of you might have seen her. She was, I think, on the L Word a few years ago. Anyone see that? Nope. You saw, yeah. You know who she is? Little cornrows. Sort of like white girl with cornrows. But, you know, and her idea is she wants to be a mainstream star, and she told me this story about how she auditioned in front of Damon Dash. Do people know who that is? He used to be part of Rockefeller Records and used to be homeboys with Jay-Z and Kanye. And he's like, freestyle for me. She freestyled for him and, you know, totally blew him away. But he's like, I can't give you a deal, you know. No one's ready for this. And she's like, okay, you know. But she signed to Warner Brothers. But, you know, again, this idea that, like, you know, gayness plus hip-hop is somehow a joke. And part of the impetus for this film and part of its efficacy is that it really shows the lives of these artists as, you know, as people struggling, succeeding. Many of them have their own labels, their own, they're engineers, they're the producers, they make beats, they write their songs, they write stuff for other people. We put together festivals, and that, you know, that's really, you know, that's how hip-hop movement started. It's like, okay, you're not going to give us a venue, we're going to make a venue. You're not going to sign us, we're going to sign ourselves, you know. You're not going to play us on the radio, we're going to find radio stations that will. We're going to sell our music out of the trucks, we're going to sell our music on the street. And from that now, there are actually, you know, mainstream festivals that book a lot of these artists. Or festivals that are, like, I remember the Michigan Women's Festival now always has one out of, you know, hundreds. They have one, usually, hip-hop artist. But that's a big leap for, you know, sort of this, you know, cultural feminist movement that thinks that all hip-hop is bad and that has no nuance, no kind of nuance art, like, critique or view of hip-hop culture. Let's see. Maybe I can just pause there and ask if there are any questions that you have or thoughts. I see some hands trying to go up. The mic? No? Okay. Any people have questions about the clips that we saw? Or do you want to see more clips? You want to see more clips? Okay. I'm going to show you someone who is...
Dutch and I
I don't know how to
New York.
Explain him. You'll see.
I didn't really have any...
So... one of the really great things about this moment in time, it's no longer really like this anymore because one of the benefits of this film and of the Peace Out festivals was that young people who were totally not connected at all to the hip-hop scene and, you know, the advent of YouTube and MySpace and all these kinds of things made it that people just started... recording themselves, you know, they started making like really bad beats and recording themselves and putting it up on YouTube for like, you know, millions of people to comment on. And but at this moment, there was like a core group of maybe 30 or 40 or 50 people who knew each other, and you know, we'd help each other. There'd be like a lot of posse tracks. Posse track is when there are a lot of people on one album. We'd help produce each other's music. We'd hook each other up with contacts. Oh, if I had a contact at MTV, I'd send it. You know, send them to my friend, and you know, that kind of thing. And so this is one of my favorite rappers in that sort of underground queer hip-hop scene. His name is Johnny Dangerous. I mean, that's not his real name, but that's his MC name. And he's, well, I'll just let you see for yourself.
and expectations going in, but I knew that the sound that I was getting was not my fullest potential of what I could deliver as an artist. And speaking with Tori, I told him what I was looking for, and he figured out how to execute it, and we kind of went from there.
I get the pleasure of bringing up Chicago.
Around, you know, against or around, you know, homophobia and those experiences, but also around racism within the gay community, and also around, there's usually a lot of classism also associated with class stigma within the gay community around hip-hop, too, that it's usually considered sort of a working class expressive culture. And frankly, even if people are middle class or even upper class, there's a kind of aesthetic that is like perpetuated. In terms of actual collaborations, I don't know of any. That's not to say there aren't any, but we probably all would know about them if there were any. There are relationships, there are some friendships off record. And I think there's a big chasm between, for instance, I'll use Kanye West again as an example, where he was maybe a couple of years ago, I think it was, you know, was talking about the homophobia as a real problem in hip-hop, not so much because all the rappers who were saying these things were actually homophobic, but because the pressure to live up to this hyper-masculine, you know, uber-heterosexual, idea of, like, masculinity, black masculinity, was really destroying, opportunities for intimacy. I mean, he didn't say it in those terms, but he was really saying, like, homophobia is a big problem, we need to stop it. But then on Run This Town, he's the only one who says, he says, everyone's on my dick, no homo, right? So, no, Jay-Z doesn't say that, you know, Kanye says that. So it's a little bit, and part of that is because, you know, Kanye West's sexuality is always a question that people ask, the other rappers ask on record, you know, and publicly. And so he has to perform some kind of rebuttal, or he feels he has to perform some kind of rebuttal often. So I don't know, you know, someone would have to be really, I think, highly successful and completely secure in their, you know, career in order to do that. I think it's still too threatening, frankly, and it's pretty shocking that it's still so threatening. I mean, I know that Common also, there's been some, you know, he's had a major shift over his career in terms of his own, you know, homophobia, and he's like a huge ally, but again, he's sort of mainstream, but also like a hero of the underground, I don't know. One of the, someone who is out, but you know, no one really talks about it that much, is Jean Grey, who is probably one of the most, talented hip-hop artists out there. She's a darling of the underground. She signed on Talib Kweli's label, Blacksmith. And, I mean, she's usually in heterosexual relationships, but she does talk about, being with women and being bisexual, and she has a lot of queer fans, even though she would never be seen that way, never be categorized that way. But that's something that completely goes under the radar, and many hip-hop women who call themselves hip-hop feminists, so scholars, feminist hip-hop scholars, stay away from her. For one reason or another, she talks about abortion, and she talks about murder. I mean, she talks about alcoholism, these really, really complex ways, and she's a really enigma, a real enigma inside of hip hop culture. And so there's a way in which even being that complex is too much for the mainstream. Oliver Wang once wrote about her that she was too emotional, and almost on every album she like talks about him and curses him out and. You know, and sort of gets at the underlying misogynistic sort of anti-femininity aspect of that comment, that there's that's antithetical to masculinity, is to have emotions, which of course is not true. We all have emotions. So I think that, is it heading in that direction? I don't know. I mean, hopefully, because the music industry is completely shifting, and music record companies are losing, revenue, and it's really becoming, Radiohead, all these people are starting to see that they need to have more control of how their music is distributed. So maybe there'll be more, less sort of barriers between artists, because a lot of it is not, people think, oh, these artists get up and they say all these crazy things, and that's part of it, but there's also a lot of pressure from A&R, there's a lot of pressure from marketing, I mean, obviously these artists have some culpability, but there's a lot of pressure in terms of, you know, you owe us money, and you need to make us money, and you can't, and frankly, audiences are, we as the consumers are eating up a certain kind of, there's, if you look at who's popular in mainstream hip-hop, that's because of us. You know, it's because of who's consuming it, and who's been putting out albums forever, and they're amazing. Even, you know, Nas's album that won a Grammy didn't sell as much as Lil Wayne's, you know, album. And you know, Nas's album is profound. You know, I mean, it's profound. It stops your mind. So I don't. And then when you get to the topic of like homosexuality or queerness or, you know, being transgender or anything like that, it's such a complicated conversation that's not really happening on a grassroots level. But at the level, that high of a level, it's hard to make that, you know, for it to enter at that level. Just a little anecdote. I remember I was in a cypher, which is like an impromptu rap freestyle session. It's like a jazz freestyle session, let's say, but it just happened somewhere, and there were these this older, very elderly woman in the Bedford-Stuyvesant section of Brooklyn would open up her shop and just let literally hundreds of people, musicians, live musicians, and dancers and MCs come in. And, you know, there were like violinists, and we're just rhyming, you know. And there were maybe 150 men and three, I can't even say women. I was the only woman. There were two teenage girls who were MCs. And and I remember I was in the cypher with these guys, and we're just like freestyling, going, we're having a good time. And at one point, this little guy who's like this tall on me just comes out with faggot, right? And I was like, shorty, what? You know. So after the thing, I kind of went up to him and I said, what? Everything was so good and positive, and where? And then you had this, and he's like, well, you know. Basically, what came out was this fear, because he was short and very, very pretty, that he had this fear of being taken advantage by men. And I talked to him about, well, you know, does that impact how you relate to women? Do you ever approach women in a kind of like violent or aggressive way? And could you maybe understand that, you know? And it was like a really, I don't know how much he moved, but I talked about, you know, this is, we're talking about, it's all love here, but then, you know, that's a violent, you know, interjection, and it, you know, how it made me feel uncomfortable. And, you know, he said he felt very comfortable with lesbians, but, you know, but that he didn't, you know, we talked about it a little bit, and it wasn't, I don't know where it went, I never saw him after that, but there was a moment of dialogue, and I wasn't like, you're a homophobic asshole, and blah, blah. It was like, why are you saying that, and this is the impact of your words. So I think that those kinds of conversations have to start at that level, because we talk about mainstream hip-hop being homophobic, but the underground is worse. I mean, it's just, it's completely unregulated. And because they're battles, you know, part of the battle aesthetic is to say the thing that's most crippling, and there's always an attack on masculinity or someone's mother, and then that's usually a fist fight will break out if someone talks about someone's mother, but there's always some kind of... You go for the attack on the masculinity. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, I think that partly we have to sort of see where it's going. We were sort of in a conservative moment with music, with hip-hop music, and now it seems to be, there seems to be something different happening, but I think it's too early to say. This was really a swelling point when this film came out of the queer hip-hop movement, and it's sort of dissolved because people got busy, they got older, they, you know, things were getting harder. They, you know, I mean, I've been making music for a long, long time, and at one point I was just like, I have to concentrate on other things, and I've been like, this album has been taking forever. But, you know, then there, it moves in cycles where I think there is interest in you know, moving things forward. So thank you.
Are there other questions? Yeah. And please let me know your name as well.
Hi, my name is Max.
Max, hi.
leaving aside the industry and stuff, do you think of, because there's been rumors about a lot of rappers being gay.
Sure, yes.
Lil Wayne, Cameron. Yeah. When do you think the mainstream will be ready, not for someone to be an activist gay rapper, but just for someone like Lil Wayne to be like,
to be out.
You know, I'm bi. When do you think that'll ever happen, that is fine?
I would hope that would be fine one day, but it's yet to happen. I mean, there are people, I don't want to say their names because I know we're videotaping this and I don't want to get sued, but there are female rappers who I know who I've seen and over a long period of years at gay clubs. Fine, they could be just with their friends, but they're often with women in, you know, intimate situations. And it and there's a kind of split where their personal life, they're out, and in their public life, they're not. You know, and it's like very Hollywood like that. You know, Hollywood is like that as well, where personally people are known to, you know, have same-sex relationships, and publicly it's a completely different story. So I don't, you know, a lot of this is governed by money and by career. And I think for women in particular, there's already women in music in general, and then women in, you know, hip-hop in particular already have this sort of strike against them. And then to come out and, you know, there's already the shadow of lesbianism, like in like female athletics, so that's not necessarily salable, you know. And people say, well, a lesbian would have an easier time. And I'm like, no, women in hip-hop have a harder time. So I don't see how being a lesbian would make that easier. Although, now I'm forgetting her name. She has the duet with Mariah Carey, and she's on All Up In My Face, and she's on...
Yes.
What's her name again? Nicki Minaj. So Nicki Minaj, I can say her name. Nicki Minaj is... I mean, her name is Nicki Minaj, as in Ménage à Trois, even though it's spelled differently. You know, she has, there, you know, she's made statements, or, you know, about her bisexuality, or there, you know, those things are percolating. But it's completely like titillating for, you know, it's like presented in a way where it's titillating for like the heterosexual male gaze. So it's not, and she's completely, you know, dolled up, literally, and a weave, and the short dress, and the cleavage, and so there's a way in which it's like this exotic and eroticized form of female bisexuality. So, if it were safe in terms of felt lucrative, I think it would happen. I mean, Ricky Martin just came out like 3 days ago, even though, come on, really? Like, oh, okay, what a surprise, you know what I mean? But I think there's that much pressure, you know, and that... I would love it, and I would, but I don't know. You know, it really just depends on, I think, again, where the artist is in their career in terms of their security. And I think that really, a public statement really has to do with how viable, you know, their career will be after. I mean, I think you can look at any other industry too, like politics. You know, politicians don't come out, you know, in Hollywood, and public figures have there's a sort of a different set of rules. I don't know what that would change. I mean, I would hope that it would make a path for other mainstream hip-hop artists to at least be allies, but who knows, you know? So much of it affects other people. And so there's not just pressure on the artist to not come out, but there's pressure from their posses or from the people they've signed, the people who work for them. So, you know, there's a lot to think about. I don't really necessarily feel like, you know, then I'll end here. I don't really necessarily feel like that's even the most efficacious move. I feel like what would be more liberating and more radical would be MCs to start coming out against homophobia on record. I feel like actually that would be more powerful than people coming out in their lives. But if there was a real movement to talk about the effects of homophobia, of heterosexism, of misogyny in our communities on a mainstream level, I feel like that would really loosen up a lot more than one or two or few people coming out of the closet. I think it really has to be a change in consciousness. And I think some of that's happening. People have stopped. There are rappers who don't, they really don't use homophobic lyrics. They don't, you know, they don't use misogyny, but they haven't quite turned the corner and then become proactive. So I think that that's starting to happen here and there. And then I think, you know, we as consumers also have to start supporting artists who, and really bigging them up, who are speaking to our values. So I think we're done. So thank you. And I'd be happy to, I think I'm going to run off, but I'd be happy to answer any questions between now, privately between now and the other panel. So thank you.
On behalf of the Clark Forum, the Clark Forum Student Board, and Student Senate, I'd like to thank you, Ms. Smalls, for this very informative presentation. And I'd like to invite all of you to join us for the remaining events of our Hip Hop Symposium. We have two panel discussions this afternoon in this room, the first one being a student panel discussion on the culture of hip hop at 2 p.m., and the latter being a faculty panel discussion on Mark Anthony Neal's lecture, How You Gonna Be the King New York, which will take place at 4 in this room as well. And then tonight, in the culmination of the symposium, we'll have Hip Hop in Action at 7 p.m. in the Anita Tuven Schlechter Auditorium. Thank you all for coming, and I hope to see you at our other events. Thank you.